Thank you to Andy and musicians, Mark at the back for helping us so far, so helpfully this morning. I am thoroughly enjoying John's gospel. Not that we should enjoy one part of God's word over any others, but I'm just finding it very powerful. But because of its power, because of the emphasis, the strength of the message, it's very hard for us to live it out in our own strength, but that's why we need God's help. If we're really going to take this word seriously, it's not a word just to be listened to. It's not just to tickle our ears. It's to be lived out for us now. Father, we praise you that you love this world enough to show yourself to the world. You show yourself in the varied colours of the beauty of autumn, the sun that blazes, the blessings you pour upon our lives every day. But you have supremely shown your love to us. You've communicated yourself to us in coming yourself, coming in the form of the Lord Jesus, God-man, who not only came and taught us, and Father, we acknowledge that he calls us to be followers, doers, learners, obeyers. But we acknowledge that we are so weak. We're so vulnerable. Thank you for the promise that if we remain in Jesus, if we abide in him, that he will abide in us. And his fruit will grow because of him within us. Thank you that he has poured out the Holy Spirit available within us. The power of God to bring your truth, to strike into our minds and to strike into our hearts and to shape our wills, to shape our lives, and to give us that power and strength to live out your word. So, Father, for us all, for myself as I seek to communicate your message, for us all as we want to obey it in the world, we pray for the outpouring of your power by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus for your glory. Amen. Right, we're going to jump straight in. I hope you've got your Bibles with you, as ever. I'd love for you to have it before you, to look at the verses that we're referring to. Some will be on the screen, but not all of them. First of all, I want us to consider what is the goal of God. What is the goal of God? Jesus says, verse 31... Oh, I always do this. I have the Bible open. John 13:31. When he, that's Judas, was gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." The Son of Man is glorified. Remember, we started this series at John 12, where Jesus says the hour has come. The hour of his death had come. But he said there again, it's the time for the Son of Man to be, was the means of him being glorified. And he refers to himself as the Son of Man. That's the prophecy of Daniel. And in Daniel saw this. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, power, glory, sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will never be destroyed. That's something that Daniel had a vision of way back in the Old Testament. And here now, Jesus is fulfilling these words. The Son of Man who's going to be glorified, the one who's going to go to heaven, and all the peoples are going to worship him. He's going to have all power, all authority, and all glory. So the Son of Man is going to be glorified, and God is going to be glorified in Jesus. Jesus' desire was always that his Father be glorified. What did Jesus say? Now my soul... But what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Jesus is going to be glorified, but God is going to be glorified through Jesus. What did Jesus pray? We'll look at these verses next year in John 17, verses 1 to 5. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. I glorify you. For you have granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth. How? By completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. So here we are throughout these chapters of John, and doing the Father's will, even if that means going to his very death, and he too is going to receive glory. So Jesus glorified, he's going to glorify God in himself. But then Jesus says in our verses, if God is glorified in Jesus, if I bring glory to the Father, then God will glorify Jesus in himself. There's this kind of two-way glorification. Jesus says, I'm going to glorify the Father, and the Father's going to glorify Jesus. Because they're one, aren't they? They are God. God the Father, God the Son, with God the Holy Spirit. Once, there's going to be no delay in the Father glorifying Jesus. When Jesus gave his life on the cross, and as he returned to the Father, he would receive that glory at once. The goal of God, the goal of the Father, the goal of the Son, the goal of the Holy Spirit is to bring glory to God. Isn't he worthy of all of our praise? Isn't God worthy of all of our honor, of all of our worship, of all of our attention for who he is, for what he's done, for what he's doing now, and for what he will do in eternity? And it ought to be our goal to glorify God. What did Paul say? Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. See, Ruth, it's not just old people that get forgetful. So Jesus is going to leave his children. Have a look how he refers to the disciples in verse 33. To the disciples, my children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, he's already recorded that earlier in John that he was leaving, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. He's leaving his children on earth. He's returning to his Father. But in his leaving, he leaves them with a new commandment. So let's look at the command of Christ. The command of Christ. Verse 34. And now I give you one another. Now, why is this a new commandment? Is it a new commandment? Were people expected to love one another in the Old Testament? Answer? Of course. Leviticus 19, verse 18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And we read, don't we, elsewhere in the Gospels, the summary of the Old Testament law is heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So is Jesus telling us a lie here? Jesus, this isn't no new commandment. You've always expected us to love our neighbors. Well, it's not so much the command, but the extent of the command that is new. So, well, how does Jesus go on? As I have loved you, so you must love one another. How has Jesus loved us and is already helped? It is love in numerous practical ways to his disciples and to all people. But what have we looked at in previous weeks? Jesus was about to show his disciples the full extent of his love. How? Well, he took the basin and the towel and he washed their feet, but that was an expression of humility, wasn't it? An expression of servanthood, and it was pointing forward to what he was about to do in laying down his life for his sheep. Folks, we are not just expected to be nice people who feed the hungry, who are smiley and kind, because the world can be like that, can't it? The world can pull their socks up. The world can be nice people. But Jesus' command goes far, far further than that, folks. We are expected to love our neighbor in a humble, self-sacrificing way like Jesus has loved us. And it's a command. We say that the New Testament's all about grace, and it's only the rules. But Jesus has given us a command. There's no option in it. So you must love one another in this way. This is my new command. You are to love until death. You are to love with the Hebrew word is hesed love, which refers to a faithful, never-ending love. It's a love that, again, as Andy said, the world knows nothing about. I've been listening, a bit of research, to some of the songs that my teenagers, yes, I am, and it's quite shocking to me, actually, when you listen to or read the lyrics of modern-day songs. Maybe it was the same in my day, and I was kind of oblivious, naively oblivious to it. But I think nowadays things are getting more and more sexually explicit. And the love that's spoken about and sung about in songs, young people, you do need to be careful of this. Don't just caught up in the tunes. What are they actually talking about? It's all about sexual, physical love that might just last for a night. And tomorrow you might show it to somebody else. The love of God is a chesed love. It's a love that does not give up. No matter what. It's a love that does not give up on you. And we'll look at that later with Peter. And that's the love that we're called to express to other people. A love that does not give up, no matter what. And that's how the world's going to know that we're Jesus' disciples, you see? Because our love is not a natural human love. It's a spiritual love. It's a miraculous love. It's a love that can only be expressed because by this, everyone will know that you're my disciples. We say that we're the Good News Church. We want everybody to know about the love of God. How is the world going to know about the love of God? Yes, we have to speak it. But faith without deeds is dead. It's very easy to say that you love somebody. Much harder to put it into practice, right? My wife will say, it's all very well, Paul, saying that you love me, but can you do the dishes? I'm tired. I don't realize the long day I've had. I just want to switch off for 5 minutes. I just want to watch the TV. Is my love a self-giving, self-dying, Jesus-like love? A love that is put into practice in everyday, practical ways. A love that does not think primarily of me, but a love that primarily the command of Christ. Paul says this in Galatians 6, 9 and 10. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You see, faithfulness, perseverance. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, but especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Jesus talking, remember, to his disciples. Love one another. 12, you're to love each other. We'll know that we're Jesus' disciples if the church primarily loves one another. Yes, we're to show love to the world as Jesus did, but there has to be a special, almost a priority in loving each other. Because if the world looks at the church and we're spouting one thing and they see hatred and discord and disunity, and a lack of care, they're not going to want to know our message, are they? They'll just rightly call us a bunch of hypocrites. But if one of Jess Williams' carers and sees a number of cards on her mantelpiece, or a bunch of flowers, or every time that carer turns up, there seems to be another person from the church who's come to visit her, what an astounding witness. Our love worked out in practice. And I'm saying that to myself as well as to us all. And Paul here is saying, he's following what Jesus is saying, as you have opportunity, what opportunities will come your way this week? Every one of us will have different opportunities because we all lead different lives. But Paul's just saying, look, as an opportunity comes your way, a boy that knocks on her door wanting to wash her car, doesn't just say, oh, go away, I don't need it washed. She uses that opportunity to show love. Gives him a cake to go away with it, as well as £5 for washing her car badly. As you have opportunity, don't give up, and especially to each other. It's demonstrated in Acts, isn't it? Acts 2 and 4, the common phrase in Acts 2 and 4 is, they had everything in common. The newborn believers straight away demonstrated practical being cared for. They're already being cared for. There's a problem. What does the church do? They make sure that there's deacons in place so that the widows are loved and cared for. And we could go on and on and on through the Bible, examples of love. Paul said, we always thank the Colossians. Thank God, sorry, for the Colossians, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Why? Because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for God's people. The love that the Colossian church had for God's people, for each other and maybe for other churches, was known. It was famous. People heard about Pendennis Good News Church is the love that those people have for each other. I've heard about it. I've seen it in action. So think practically this week. Andy's already challenged the children. Challenge ourselves. What act of love and humility could I do for someone in the church this week? Maybe take your directory and look through the people's names. Who on that list needs to be shown the love of God? Who can I give of myself to this week in a simple, practical way? The goal of God is to glorify himself. The call of Christ, or the command of Christ, is for us to love one another as he has loved us. But there is a failure of followers. Have a look back at John 13. It's interesting that Jesus gives this new command and it doesn't seem to resonate on Peter's wavelength, because he doesn't refer to it. Rather, he says, he kind of goes back to what Jesus said, not come. Then he gives the command. Peter seems to ignore it and says, Lord, where are you going? Well, how am I going to show this love? He's more interested about where Jesus is off to. Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus answered, Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times. What's this love that Jesus is calling us to exhibit? It's that faithful love. Judas, who betrays his Lord, and Peter, who disowns his Lord. He's chosen 12 who are going to take the message to the world. And at the very point where Jesus is showing the full extent of his love, they fail. I've thought about this a lot recently, and I think mission, our task as the church, could be summarized in those two royal laws. Mission is about love. Mission is about us, first of all, loving God, and then the love of God transformed and spread to others. But we're very slow to act, aren't we? If you're like me and like Peter, we'll be in church and we'll say, Father, you're really challenging me about this, and I'm gonna lay down my life for you, Jesus. And Monday morning, God help us to exhibit his love. But you see, there is a wonderful reinstatement. And I want us just to jump outside of our passage today, because although we're all failures, Peter is reinstated. So the reinstatement of the risen Lord Jesus, this isn't Jesus being reinstated, it's Jesus doing the reinstating. You all know the story, I'm sure, but this is how John, and I think it's very important that we see this. So John 21, 15 to 17. When they had finished eating, Jesus said, this is when Jesus has risen already, sorry, from the grave. He'd met with his disciples. When they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? Yes, he answered, Lord. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were young, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. By which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Peter denied his Lord three times. Jesus asks Peter three times if he loves him. And Peter says three times, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. And Jesus says, okay, if you love me, this is how you're going to prove that you love me. I want you to do some simple things. I want you to feed my lambs. As you have opportunity, when there is a young one in the faith, I want you to feed them. I want you to teach them. But I also want you to take care of my sheep, my older ones, those who are already in need of care, Peter. I want you to take care of them. This is how you're going to show Peter on a day-by-day basis that you love me. And Peter, those sheep need feeding too. You see, it's all very well for us to say, I'm going to lay down my life for Jesus. I'm going to give my life to Jesus. But what Jesus says is, you prove that you're doing that moment by moment, day by day, act by act, word by word, feeding and taking care of my people. But Jesus doesn't stop me, and he says, Peter, he basically refers to Peter's crucifixion. Peter, you're going to be led somewhere you don't want to go. Just like I was led like a lamb to the slaughter, Peter, you too are going to die. But Peter, I want you to follow me to the end. Like I followed to the end, like I persevered to the end, like I glorified my Father, Peter, this is how you're going to glorify me. And Peter knew what he was saying, and he says, but Lord, what about John? What about, Lord, don't give me such a high responsibility. Don't put such a burden upon me. Well, what about so-and-so? What about the person next to me? What are you asking them to do? And Jesus says, don't worry about them. Just focus on what I'm asking you to do. You obey me. You follow me. And this is how John ends his gospel. With the question to us, will we follow Jesus? Even if he calls and demands such great things of us. Remember what Jesus said? When he says, the hour has come, the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. That's Jesus who's going to die and produce many seeds, but then he relates it to us as well. If anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow. My servant will be also. My Father will honor the one who serves me. That's Jesus calling for us, folks. Dying like a seed, but in the act of dying, that's how we produce fruit. Not by holding on to our lives, but by giving them. And then the Father will honor us. So there is the home call of heaven. You see, if you just go back for one short moment to John 13, Jesus says to Peter, but you will follow later. Peter, you can't follow me now because I've got a job for you to do. Peter, you can't come with me to glory now because I've got a work for you to do. Peter, I want you to go and feed my sheep and take care of my sheep and feed my lambs. I want you to go and to make me known, Peter. And Peter, I want you to go and die for me. You can't follow me now, but you will. You will, Peter. You will be with me, Peter. And likewise, folks, the Father will honor those who live out his plan for us in the world, living as Jesus did, loving as Jesus did, using our lives in this world, not for ourselves, but for the goal of God, for the glory of God, obeying the command of Christ to love one another as he has loved us. Yes, we will be failures as we seek to follow, but there is also reinstatement. There is also fresh forgiveness every day, fresh power every day as we come back to Jesus, as we lay our lives before him on a daily basis and say, yes, I'm weak. I'm sorry I failed yesterday. Give me strength today to take care of your people, to feed them. Trust that you will help me to have that faithful love. And one day, there will be the home call of heaven. And I will be in your presence. And I trust that I will have that welcome. Well done, good and faithful servant. Let's pray.